The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
This program contains explicit content and subject matter which may be unsuitable for some listeners. Discretion is advised. Sex Out Loud is brought to you by Good Vibrations, creating a buzz since 1977.
Smart, sexy, kinky, fun.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud with your host, sex educator, author, and filmmaker, Tristan Taramino. It's sex-positive radio like you've never heard before. Tristan talks about sexuality from every angle with leading authors, experts, artists, and icons. From sex education and sexual politics to BDSM and non-monogamy, nothing is off limits. So get ready to open your mind and expand your horizons. This is Sex Out Loud. And now here's your host, Tristan Taramino.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud. I've got a treat for you today because this is someone that I've known for quite some time, and she really is an expert. Let me tell you all about her. Shanna Katz is a queer, kinky, disabled femme and a board-certified sexologist, a sexuality educator, and a professional pervert. This is something other people should aspire to be. From topics like relationship communication skills to non-monogamy and oral sex to disability and how sexuality and disability intersect, she talks, writes, and teaches about the huge spectrum of sexuality from both professional and personal perspectives. Shanna is actively involved in work towards equality and social justice for people of all identities. She also loves traveling to speak at various places, including conferences, sex toy stores, colleges, dungeons, and more. She believes that all people deserve to have interesting and accurate information about sexuality, especially those communities who are frequently left out of the sexual conversation. She's the author of Oral Sex That'll Blow Her Mind, Your Pleasure Map, and the almost or just released 100 Lesbian Sex Positions. Welcome to Sex Out Loud, Shanna.
Thanks so much for having me, Tristan.
I feel like the last time we saw each other, we were eating vegetarian Ethiopian food in Colorado. Is that true?
That was Arizona, but yes.
Okay. See, I can't even keep track of where I am. Well, that's because both of us do a lot of traveling, and I know that you travel a lot, but I also really am curious about some of the work you've done online. I mean, one of the things that you say in your mission is that you want to provide accessible, open source sex education to people around the country. So what does that mean to you?
Well, I think it's one of those things around who gets access to information, right? So we have the kind of under 18 crowd, and we certainly don't talk about pleasure to them. And if they're lucky, we get some good evidence-based comprehensive sex education, but they're pretty limited. And then you turn 18 and it's suddenly great. Now you can have all this this information legally. But how do you get access to it? And so for some folks, it's not affordable to go to a couples retreat that's $600 a person plus travel, or even to go, you know, if you live in a rural area or certain areas of the country, you don't have a local feminist or sex positive toy store that has educators that are providing classes. And if it's a 2 or 3 or 4 hour drive, then also paying $25, $30, $40 to go to a class is just not doable for people. So my goal is to provide sliding scale education in places where I go. I also kind of have this karmic thing where if it's like a local small community group and they're not charging anyone, then I don't charge them to come, you know, give them kind of a 101. And I do a lot of work online so that if somebody has access, whether it's hopefully through a library that hasn't blocked everything, or through a college campus or their computer and they live, you know, 3 hours away from the largest town, they can still get the information without having to travel or to pay for that kind of access.
Well, and one of the ways, too, is you've written these books. And I think that's another way for lots of people in lots of different places to access information. And your book, Your Pleasure Map, has this great subtitle, A Woman's Q&A Guide to Hotter, Naughtier, More Adventurous Sex. And you describe it as a choose-your-own-adventure style of sex guide, but I was actually really thrilled to see the format because it's one that I haven't seen before. Can you explain the format of the book and how you came to decide to use it?
Yeah, so we kind of were inspired by the old-school choose-your-own-adventure, right? Because sexuality is an adventure regardless of how you identify. It's just a total, you know, fly by the seat of your pants kind of thing. And so we're like, well, you know, how about people talk about, like, you know, a date? Well, what kind of date do I want to go on? Am I cool and casual? Am I more of a trendsetter and want a night on the town? Or am I a classic romantic? Right? Because that's how a choose your own adventure would be. You choose which one of those best fits you or best fits your wants. And so I was like, well, let's do it that way. Now, it's not a true traditional choose your own adventure. Once you go to that answer, you don't have to, you know, go to page 30 and then page 93. But each section is broken up into that. And so if you're learning about something that you don't have a lot of information on, like your G-spot and female ejaculation or butt sex or lubricants, you can kind of choose, A, what your level of experience is. Are you brand new to this or do you just need expert-level advice? And what you're interested in. If you're talking about butt sex, is it you want to strap it on and give it to your partner, you want somebody to put something in your butt, or you just want a little background information to know whether it's even for you? So it's really written so that regardless of where you're coming from and what your background and experience and even interests are, you can figure out something that fits and is good for you.
Okay, so I want to do an example, and I picked one of my favorites from a chapter. And basically, so there's this kind of survey element to it. Like at the beginning, you kind of assess. It's like a little bit like a Cosmo survey, but smarter, obviously. and you kind of assess like where you're at. And so this one was on communication, and I really liked it. And then I thought you could explain like how it goes in different directions. And basically, you're supposed to pick communicating what your needs are using the following. A compliment sandwich. B, find my favorite spots. Or C, sexy sticky notes. Break that down for me.
Well, the compliment sandwich is one of my overall favorite things, and it really works for everything, whether it's sex things or relationship things, where you say something really nice, you say something you want to change, and then you say something really nice again, right? So if it's, let's say, you want your partner to go down on you for a longer period of time, you could say something like, wow, when you go down on me, that is like the sexiest thing that I've ever had to happen. You know, if you could do it for like an hour, that would just drive me out of my mind. This is one of my favorite things that we do together. Right?
Nice.
And so you're saying this is what I would like changed, because it's okay to want things changed, to have different needs. You know, even if you've been with your partner for 40 years, you might need something different now than you did 40 years ago. But instead of saying something like, wow, you really don't like spending much time down there, you can figure out a way to get that message across while also letting them know that you really enjoy what they're doing.
I like that. That seems like that could work in so many different situations, the compliment sandwich.
Oh, absolutely. Chores around the house. You're like, you know, I love it when you cook dinner, but it would be even better if I didn't have to worry about the dishes afterward. If you cook dinner this week, I'll give you a massage all, you know, every night next week, right? So it can be a little carrot, you know, to move people along something. But it's really anything that you want to change. And even if you love everything, right, but there's something really small, like, hey, if you could just move to the left a little bit more, that's a great way to do it because you're still providing positive feedback. And people, everybody likes to hear positive feedback. It's just how humans are.
Okay, so then tell me about find my favorite spots, that communication technique.
So this is more specifically sexual. And so there's all these different scented things and flavored things and honey body dust and flavored massage oil and all of that. And people figure, like, well, what do I do with that? I don't want to, like, put it all over my entire body and just spend the rest of my night with my partner licking me like a cat. So this is one of my favorite things to do, is to say, send your partner out of the room and put that flavored stuff, or you could even just use honey or something from around the house, in, let's say, three of your favorite spots that you like to be licked. And then you say, so I've hidden these on my body. Your turn to find them. If you want to go really advanced, maybe put a blindfold on them or turn out the lights. But it's their job to kind of think and be like, huh, where might some of your favorite spots to be licked be? And then they go for them and they're like, success, that was sweet, or it tasted like raspberries or whatever it was. Huh, I didn't get that on the next spot. I'm going to keep looking. And so it's kind of a foreplay game, but it's also a way of saying, this is where it feels really good. And then they get that feedback of, okay, that's sweet, it tastes good, this is a spot that I know. So it's kind of that communication cycle again.
Yeah. Okay, and then tell me about sexy sticky notes.
So not everybody communicates the same way. And some people are really verbal and they like to talk that way. I'm that way. I like to talk it out. Some people, like my partner, are not, right? So you can have lots of types of communication. So what I suggest for folks is, if you have a book, say my book, but really anyone. I know you have some amazing books out there too. Put sticky notes on your favorite pages, right? Like if it's an activity you want to do or a position you want to try, you can put sticky notes and even put notes on the sticky notes or just stick them there. Close up the book and put it in your partner's backpack, put it in their briefcase, maybe not before a really big meeting, but just in general, leave it on their nightstand, or even just write sticky notes and leave them around the house and say something like, hey, sexy time tonight, or handcuffs are in the top drawer. It's a way of communicating for folks that aren't very verbal, but that it, then, you know, anytime you see a yellow sticky note, then that's like, oh, sexy time, got it. And it's that kind of messaging and, again, conditioning for we're communicating, but in a sexy and different way.
I love office supplies personally. So I and also I have a partner who isn't as talky as I am. So I really appreciate that last one a lot.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to take a break and hear from our fantastic sponsors, including Astroglide. You can get a free sample of Astroglide by going to their website, astroglide.com. Stay with us. More with Shanna Katz coming up. We are going to talk about one of her passions. We're going to talk about sex on campus, and we're going to talk about being naughty. So don't go anywhere.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
Enhance pleasure for you and the ones you love to love with Astroglide personal lubricants. Astroglide provides that extra oomph in creating a better and more exciting sexual experience. Astroglide's wide product range allows you to pick and choose based on personal preferences. All the products are also latex condom compatible, allowing for safer sex practices. Astroglide values the benefits of a fun and healthy sex life as part of a happier lifestyle. And so should you. For more information and a free sample, visit astroglide.com and get your sex life to blast off today.
Good Vibrations is the San Francisco Bay Area-based women-friendly retailer trusted for more than three decades to provide a comfortable, welcoming, and safe environment for quality sex toys, educational materials, and products that enhance and empower one's sex life. Good Vibrations offers its products at six retail locations in San Francisco, Berkeley, and Oakland, California, and in Brookline, Massachusetts, as well as online at www.goodvibes.com. Online ordering is discreet and trusted. We believe that pleasure is your birthright, and one of our highly trained staff members can help you choose the product that is perfect for you at 1-800-BUY-VIBE. Call us 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time at 1-800-289-8423. Or visit us online at www.goodvibes.com.
I'm Lux Alptrom. As editor of Fleshbot.com, I've come into contact with a lot of different sex toys, including the Eevee by Aneros. For over a decade, Aneros has produced the preeminent prostate massagers, and now that they've conquered that territory, they set their sights on a new erogenous zone. Eevee is Aneros' first toy for the female prostate, or as you might know it, the G-spot. I appreciate the way that Eevee can be inserted and forgotten, offering a pleasure that can be experienced as a background sensation as you go about your day. If you want to combine Kegel fitness with hands-free orgasms, give Eevee a try.
Enjoy better sex today. Find Eevee and the entire line of prostate massagers on Aneros.com. You can get 15% off and free shipping on orders over $75 by using the coupon code BETTERSEX.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud. We're talking today with sex educator and activist Shanna Katz, and we're talking about especially her new book, Your Pleasure Map. Okay, so Shanna, one of my other favorite things about the book is your really honest introduction. And by that, I mean, when I read it, I felt like I heard your voice in it. I felt like you didn't hold back. And one of the things that you talked about that really resonated with me was that you had reservations about using the word naughtier in the subtitle of your book.
Yeah.
Tell me.
Well, I think we have this idea in our culture, right? We're all about dichotomies. We have the virgin horror complex. We have the prude horror complex is, you know, a subset of that. And I think that we have this idea of good girl, bad girl. And it's not just me, because when you talk to publishers, they're like, books that say naughty, books that say bad girl. And honestly, when I was in college, I had the Bad Girl's Guide to everything. There was like three or four different books on this, right? I had the Bad Girl's Guide to road trips, the Bad Girl's Guide to sex, all this stuff. And so I want to know why it is that only bad girls get to have fulfilling sex lives. And so for me, naughty has this like loaded context of, for me to have a fulfilling, awesome, exciting sex life that's what I want it to be, I have to have this naughty perspective. And so I would push back and challenge and say that if sex for you is naughty and naughty feels good and makes you feel sexy, then that's great. But I also want to move away from this idea that sex and enjoying sex is a bad, naughty thing, because everybody should be able to enjoy the sex that they want to have and the sex that they're having. And so I'd say good girls can have good sex and good girls can have bad sex, and bad sex being not naughty sex, but sex that's not fulfilling and sex that doesn't feel good. And the same goes for bad girls. And what does this even mean? And why do we even use the term girls? I have a lot of feelings about all of these things. But so I kept the title naughtier in because I want people who maybe fit that social definition of I have to be a bad girl to have good sex to pick up my book and to see that good and bad is not a quality of fulfilling sex, of happy sex, of that makes me feel good and have lots of orgasm sex. Good and bad is whether or not sex fits your wants and your needs. And so hopefully people that might never pick up a book that has a deep title around, you know, expunging the Madonna horror complex, sex for everyone, might pick up my book and still get that same kind of pushback, but then have all this awesome information to have good sex, whether or not it's naughty to them.
Those are all good points, and I think they also pull back the curtain a little bit on the publishing process, which is that we don't always get to decide what our subtitles are or what the cover looks like. People want to interrogate me about this all the time when I do public appearances, and you know, I think they think we have more power. You know, they picture us at this like boardroom table and we're like, this is the image I imagine on the cover of my book. Make it happen. And, you know, there are a few people in publishing who can wield that kind of power, but most of us can't. And like you said, we're constantly dancing in and out of these terms that, you know, that the whole industry is sort of invested in. So I like it that you just said, okay, I'm going to go with it, but then I'm going to unpack it a little bit right off the bat.
Absolutely. And I mean, I think that that's something I put out there with all of my books is because both the oral sex book, the cunnilingus book, and the lesbian sex position books have pictures. And I am a queer, fat woman with disabilities and really believe in social justice. And the pictures of all of the people in these books are white, slim, cisgender. In the lesbian book, they're super feminine. They're very fit.
They're a little photoshopped. I know. I mean, I've also published books with this publisher. So it's tricky to get around some of these ideas. I remember that I said, like, I wanted at least one woman to be thick in one of my books. And I got that. And then I got, like, a couple of color in my other book. And I was like, okay, small victories.
It is. And I will say, in the lesbian sex position book, I reached out to sex toy companies that I really believed in and asked if they would send toys. And my big pushback for that book was I only want toys that I think are body friendly in the book. And because one of, you know, the things that really annoys me is when I see, like, strap-ons that are a harness and a rabbit vibrator.
Oh, my God.
And I'm
God.
Like, you would never use that. You'd, like, electrocute someone as you, like, bent it in half. But yeah. That's what we put out there. And so I said, you know, this is an instruction book. And so even if I don't get everything else I want, and I pushed back on a lot of things and got a lot of pushback back, but that was my, like, holding pattern. I was like, if I'm going to sign this contract, I will provide the toys, but they're not going to be jelly toys. And so yeah. I think it is those baby steps. And I think it is, you know, as you have grown in the field, I bet you have a lot more say than you did 10 years ago.
Yes, but I feel like publishers have the same limited views of sexuality as they did 10 years ago. I feel like I'm having the same arguments in some ways, which can be frustrating.
Yeah.
Well, you brought this up, and so I want to dive into it because one of your passions is talking about sex and disability, which is incredibly taboo. We don't talk about these issues enough. I'm wondering what you think are some of the conversations within sex education, within sex positive communities that we still aren't having.
Well, I mean, one of the number one easiest issues that I think is fixable is when we do sex ed, how do we make it accessible? Like physically accessible and accessible to folks with disabilities. And that could be anything from I've been to locations that are up a flight of stairs or are not wheelchair accessible. I've been to places where there's no handouts and there's just a PowerPoint, and people will say, as you can see on the screen, well, not everyone can see. And so what are we saying to our community when we say the only way you can get good sex ed is if you have traditional mobility, traditional vision, traditional hearing? And so that's something I would push all sex educators to be really cognizant of is how are you providing your sex ed? And if we do activities where we say everyone stand up, how can we phrase that in a way that says if everyone can move into groups instead of stand up and walk over here? So that's my number one, and that's not just for sex ed. I feel that really goes across the board for anyone doing education work. I think a huge issue, and this is one that's super controversial, so I'll just mention it briefly and skip over it.
Oh, no, we're going to dive in. Oh, yeah, okay. we're on the second segment. Let's go.
All right. Well, I think we're starting slowly, and there's still a lot of problems with folks with physical disabilities, right? We haven't gotten over that hump yet, but we're starting, right? Because I go to kink events, and I see that there are disability classes. Sometimes I teach them. Sometimes other people do. We're pretty disability aware there. I go to conferences. There's more talks on that. I'm actually just finishing up a qualitative study on people with physical disabilities, sexual negotiations with partners. And while I got a little bit of pushback from the IRB, they were like, great, do it. However, intellectual, cognitive, emotional disabilities, any of those things that you want to call it, are strictly off limits when we talk about sex. And sex educators don't cover it. When I bring it up in groups, people are like, yeah, so that's really a case-by-case basis. I can't say anything about that community. And I think that's, again, where we go back to that idea that folks with disabilities are either hypersexual. And I think especially for folks with intellectual cognitive disabilities, we say, you know, oh, this 25-year-old wants, you know, is masturbating, therefore he's hypersexual, versus if it was a 25-year-old, a neurotypical 25-year-old, we wouldn't have a problem with it. And so I'm really excited. I think there's very, very little out there, but I know I got brought in to a residential treatment home in Colorado the other day to talk to a 19-year-old woman with what they would call a developmental disability about how to purchase and care and use a vibrator.
But wow.
She had to go through her case manager, her residential treatment director, her like board manager and guardian for the state, and actually go in front of the state board to explain to them why she wanted a vibrator, why it would help her in the long run so that she wouldn't be sexual with other people because she could meet her own needs. And then she had to find someone, and luckily her case manager cared enough to help her, but find someone to come in and educate her on it. And this
okay.
is a good story.
This is a remarkable story. Okay, I need to unpack this. First of all, most of us don't need clearance from all these people to get a vibrator. So, right. like, how much boldness and courage did it take to say, okay, I have to go to my guardian, I have to go to these caretakers, I have to go to all these people to tell them that I want a vibrator.
And put my sexuality on display.
Yeah, yeah, and have it sort of interrogated and questioned. But then the fact that the whoever found you obviously knows something and thought, okay, this is good and we're going to take a sex-positive approach to this. I mean, that seems like a step in the right direction, but I'm thinking of all the other people now who don't have access to that. And it's something that I would take for granted, getting myself a vibrator.
Right, absolutely.
And I do think, I think it's interesting, you know, I have a friend who's a therapist and she works at a major university on the East Coast, and she recently began a group for called Sex and Dating for People on the Asperger's Spectrum. And so she reached out to me and said, hey, so you're like the sex and relationship person. You've got to have resources on this. And I want to tap into those because I'm doing this group. And I was like, I don't. No one in the communities in which I travel talk about this in a public way. They might talk about it behind closed doors, but they don't talk about it in a public way. So I think you're right. These are the kinds of conversations which are just starting to pop up. And certainly the stigma and shame around mental health, coupled with the stigma and shame around talking about sex together, is enough to kind of keep everyone quiet on the subject.
Yeah, it completely shuts folks down.
Well, we've got to change that, and obviously you're out there doing that. Okay, we're going to take a break, and we're going to hear from our sponsors, including Good Vibrations. Good Vibrations has been such a huge support for me, and it's a really sex-positive place. They not only have the finest quality toys, they have really fantastic sex educators working there. They have great customer service. It is a place where you want to spend money and maybe even buy your own vibrator. So go to goodvibes.com, and while you're there, you can use the coupon code TristanGoodVibes for 20% off your purchase of $100 or more. Stay with us. More on sex education with Shanna Katz when we return.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Good Vibrations is the San Francisco Bay Area-based women-friendly retailer trusted for more than three decades to provide a comfortable, welcoming, and safe environment for quality sex toys, educational materials, and products that enhance and empower one's sex life. Good Vibrations offers its products at six retail locations in San Francisco, Berkeley, and Oakland, California, and in Brookline, Massachusetts, as well as online at www.goodvibes.com. Online ordering is discreet and trusted. We believe that pleasure is your birthright, and one of our highly trained staff members can help you choose the product that is perfect for you at 1-800-BUY-VIBE. Call us 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time at 1-800-289-8423 or visit us online at www.goodvibes.com.
Sportsheets is the sex toy company that's been keeping couples connected for over 20 years. Their fantasy restraint and sex toy products redefine sexual adventure. From bondage and sexual positioning to strap-ons and role play, Sport Sheets makes a toy for everyone's taste and budget. So go treat yourself to something from Sport Sheets, available wherever great sex products are sold.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud. We're talking today with sexologist Shanna Katz. Shanna, I know you teach at colleges and universities, and you know, you talked in the first segment about how people sort of reach the age of 18 and then it's like, okay, it's go time, but they've had no sex education up till that point. So there's still a lot of confusion and questions. I'm wondering what some of the most common questions are that students ask you.
So on college campuses, I definitely get asked about butt sex, anal sex a lot, especially if it should hurt, how long it should hurt for, what to do about poop. Those are kind of the main anal sex ones. There's a lot about whether things really exist. So does the G-spot exist? Can women really ejaculate? How do I know if my girlfriend's faking it? How do I know if my boyfriend's faking it? Can men fake it? So kind of like this, I don't even know what's going on here. And then there's a lot of communication questions, like how do I talk to my partner about oral sex, or how, you know, is it normal to like not like oral sex, and how do I tell my partner if I don't? How do I talk to my partner about becoming kinky? How do I tell my partner I want to have an open relationship? How do I tell my partner I also want to have sex with other boys? A lot of them are fairly basic, I would say, basic in the sense that everybody, regardless of whatever type of sex they're having, should be able to have access to those answers, right? It's not like some specific, you know, I've done classes in like a kink community. I did a vaginal fisting class, and someone asked me if I've had a hysterectomy, how long do I have to wait to be fisted again? That's a very specific person's question, and while many people might have that circumstance nationwide, in that group, she might be the only one. But on the college campuses, these are questions that, you know, how do I talk to my partner about having sex should be something I would hope that by the time people are sexually active, they have those skills, but we don't provide them because it's not part of any of our sex ed curricula. We have communication around how to say no, or communication on how to use safer sex, but not communication on how to say, hey, I really love giving blowjobs and you don't like having them. How do we communicate about that?
Right. No, right. Absolutely. And I have the same experience on college campuses, that there is just a lot of not talking, which is to the detriment of all parties involved. And then there's a lot of just unsatisfying sexual experiences because there's not talking.
Absolutely.
One of the things I really appreciate about you is that you seem entirely unafraid to write about mishaps and awkwardness. Where did you get this courage?
So if I didn't write about them, there would be a lot less of that.
But really, where do you get the courage to write about stuff that isn't always like shiny, happy, pretty?
Well, I think for me, I have a lot of identities that, for better or for worse, are not always shiny, happy, pretty. I'm a woman with multiple disabilities who's actually in the process of going through some new diagnoses. I am a fat woman in a culture that does not value curves or fat people. I'm a queer person in a very heteronormative, cisgender normative community. And so I think that if I was to pretend that everything was shiny and happy all the time, A, I wouldn't be being authentic. And that's what I'm trying to tell everyone that I talk to, whether it's college students or kinksters or medical professionals, is that if you are genuine and authentic, that shows, right? Whether it's a doctor with a patient saying, I genuinely want to know your pronoun preference, or it's a kinkster saying, I genuinely want to know your hard limits. If we pretend everything's perfect, how can I ask other people to be authentic? And I would also say that sex is not perfect, right? Like I have three rules for good sex. The first one is communication is key. We've kind of covered that. The second is that lube is love, because lube makes almost everything better and fabulous and wonderful, and it's very hard to have too much lube. And the third is you've got to laugh, because sex and sexuality and relationships are very awkward. Whether it is asking someone out and saying the wrong thing, whether it's projectile dildos or falling off the bed or having your mother-in-law walk in on you, sex is never this perfect romantic seal playing in the background, rose petals on the pillow. And so I feel as if I can be authentic with people about how sometimes I don't feel sexy and that's okay, or sometimes I say the wrong thing and that's okay, it lets people know that we can puncture this kind of snow globe bubble of the perfect sex life, and that everybody can figure out what is perfect for them and not the social construction of what perfect sex is.
You know, it's a different kind of a modeling behavior you want to see. You're modeling this authentic behavior and probably giving permission to other people to do it too.
I hope it's permission, but I hope it's also just this realism, because I think oftentimes folks that know something that other people don't, not necessarily because we're smarter, but just because we have more experience with it, like sex educators, get put up on this pedestal. And I've talked to other sex educators who've said things like, I haven't had sex in 6 months or a year, and I don't know how to talk to my partner about it, but who am I going to ask? Because I'm the person that everyone asks, right? Like, we give advice out to people, and this is what I would tell people, but how do I handle that in my own relationship? And there's this idea that because we're sex educators, we're always sexy and we're always sexual and we know all the answers to everything. We want to have every type of sex ever. And that's not necessarily the case. And I don't want anybody to try and model themselves after a not real person.
Okay, well, another piece of this puzzle is something you do called sex comm, which is, I believe, a marriage of sex education and comedy. I want to hear about what it is, how it got started, and how folks can find out about the next one happening.
Yes, so marriage is a great descriptor of it. There's a local comedian here in Denver called Debbie Shear, and she was doing a lot of comedy, and she's actually come to some of my workshops, and she's fabulous. She used to work for Planned Parenthood here in Colorado, and she, as a later-in-life lesbian, was realizing that as a newly single woman, she had no resources around anything from safer sex to how to try and get a new partner, all of this, because she'd been in a relationship for so long. And so she's like, can you just come talk to a group of my women friends? I'm sure everybody would appreciate this. And I guess she ran the idea by some of her friends, and they're like, well, why don't you do a show? Because you're hilarious, but you don't necessarily know anything about dental dams. And your friend knows stuff about the vulva, and you guys can do a little shtick. So we're like, yeah, you know, she asked me if I was interested, and I said, okay. And we expected maybe 10 or 15 people to come to the first show, and it's open to everyone of all genders and orientations. You just have to be 18+, and it is an accessible space. And we sold out about an hour before the show started, at about 75 or 80 people, which was a little bit over what we had seats for, so it was standing room and floor only. And we turned another 35 people away.
Wow.
Which I think speaks again to this idea that people just want access to information. It's a sliding scale show. You pay $5 to $10, whatever you can afford. It guarantees you a seat and some free lube. And we have a raffle at the end of the show. Debbie is hilarious and sometimes very inappropriate, which I appreciate. And I am awkward and full of sex information, and sometimes also very inappropriate. So if anybody's interested, we have, we're now doing two shows each month on the same night, just back to back, so that we can fit more people in. The next show is February 8th, which probably I'm realizing the show will air after that. But you can check us out at facebook.com/sexcom, S-E-X-C-O-M, Denver, for upcoming shows. And we're hoping eventually to travel. So if you live in a city that is not Denver and have a location you'd like to bring us to, we're hilarious. I think we're hilarious and people seem to like us. So we'd love to come out and chat with you.
Okay, that's good. We're going to take another break. I'm hoping that Shanna will stick around for the Ask Tristan segment because we've got some really good questions from you guys out there in the world. And we've got two experts to answer them. So stay with us. You're going to hear from our sponsors, including WeVibe. Which is your favorite WeVibe vibrator? Is it the WeVibe 4? Is it the Tango? Is it the Touch? Go look at their entire line, and I promise you, whatever one you select, you will not be disappointed. Go to WeVibe.com. Stay with us. Ask Tristan and Shanna is up next.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
Turn off the TV and pick up the remote control that is sure to please. Worn while making love, the WeVibe 3 features whisper quiet motors that will keep you anything but quiet. We can't help it if the rechargeable battery lasts longer than you do. Learn more about the world's number one vibrator for couples at WeVibe.com. WeVibe. Share the pleasure.
Good Vibrations is the San Francisco Bay Area-based women-friendly retailer trusted for more than three decades to provide a comfortable, welcoming, and safe environment for quality sex toys, educational materials, and products that enhance and empower one's sex life. Good Vibrations offers its products at six retail locations in San Francisco, Berkeley, and Oakland, California, and in Brookline, Massachusetts, as well as online at www.goodvibes.com. Online ordering is discreet and trusted. We believe that pleasure is your birthright, and one of our highly trained staff members can help you choose the product that is perfect for you at 1-800-BUY-VIBE. Call us 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time at 1-800-289-8423 or visit us online at www.goodvibes.com.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud. We have been spending this episode talking with sex educator Shanna Katz, and I thought she could stick around while we did the Ask Tristan segment. I had a lot of questions to choose from this week. I'm going to see if we can get to more than one. We'll see. But I'm going to start with this one, which came in by email. And I want to remind all of you, by the way, that everyone who asks a question and gets it read on the air is going to win a prize from Sports Sheets. And ooh, I have a surprise for you this week. And that is you get to pick what prize you win. That's right, people. If you hear your name or recognize your question, you email me your mailing address and whatever Sports Sheets prize you want. And you get it. Because that's how Sports Sheets rolls, people. Okay, my first question comes from someone who calls themselves aroused but confused. Okay, a few nights ago, I engaged in simultaneous G-spot, clitoral, and anal stimulation. I was able to come 5 times over the course of about 90 minutes, although unfortunately, I didn't ejaculate. After about another hour or so of using hands and toys to pleasure myself, I noticed I did not need any toys and stimulation to continue to thrust, writhe, moan, and feel arousing contractions in my body. What caused me to continue to experience such a profound orgasm without any touching or stimulation an hour or so into my play session? What do you think?
Well, I think that we have to remember that everybody experiences orgasms so differently and different amounts based on different types of stimulation. So it sounds to me like this person reached this kind of critical mass of endorphins in their system. And at that point, anything, including thoughts, sexy thoughts, or even I've chatted with people who just having nails scratched down their back can cause further pleasure, further orgasms, and all of that all rolled into one because everything just feels good and your body's kind of on fire at that point.
Yeah, and what strikes me too is that this person says that they were thrusting, writhing, moaning. And one of the things I do know, and I know this from the original, Betty Dodson, is that when you actually vocalize when you're experiencing pleasure and you move your body, you can actually intensify and even lengthen your experience of orgasm. So just making noise and moving rather than kind of freezing up or locking up, which some people do, can actually draw out the orgasm even longer. So I think that's what happened.
Okay. A model tub on finding a new way to get yourself off even longer and stronger.
I know. Okay, our next question comes from Ryan and Deanna, who open by saying, thanks for making such amazing videos. You're welcome, Ryan and Deanna. If you want to get some of those amazing videos, people, you can go to my website, puckerup.com. Okay, my fiance and I have started recently attempting to make her ejaculate using the Enjoy Pure Wand. And so far, everything seems to be going very well, except for the payoff. Before we begin with the wand, we engage in foreplay to make sure she's well stimulated. We start with the smaller end and work our way to the larger size once she's wet enough. After a while, she has that urination feeling, and I can feel the immense swelling inside her near her G-spot. My question is the orgasm itself. She has not successfully been able to come from just G-spot stimulation, though during intercourse, she regularly orgasms from penetration alone. So we incorporate the Hitachi magic wand to make the orgasm happen. Does the position of her legs play a part in ejaculation? Is the clitoral aspect lessening her chances of ejaculating? Right now, I feel pretty successful in the results that the Enjoy wand has produced, amazing sex due to an inflamed G-spot, but we would both love to see her explode. Here's a squirting question for you, Shanna.
Excellent. Well, I'd say my first just quick initial thought is when we say things like make someone orgasm and set this really specific goal, sometimes that alone is too much pressure for your own body to handle, right? If our goal is like we are going to figure out how to make you have an orgasm, we are definitely going to have anal sex tonight, sometimes your body's like, yeah, that's nice. Good luck with that. I'm peacing out. So my first suggestion would be it sounds like you're really enjoying it. Maybe taking that goal of ejaculation off the table and just really enjoying the journey. Aside from that, everybody, again, is different. And so some folks can ejaculate separate from orgasm and some do it together. So it might be that she needs to have an orgasm of a different sort first, including clitoral stimulation, and then ejaculation is more likely to happen. A lot of times that also can take off that edge of like, if I've already had an orgasm, then I can relax my body a little bit more and be ready for ejaculation. I would say playing around in different positions because different people, again, feel things differently. But really just making sure you push out. If you think about you're doing Kegel exercises and you would hold in like you're stopping the flow and you would push out to like start peeing. It's that same kind of thing when you're ejaculating. A lot of people, it's very counterintuitive. You want to hold things in because a lot of people orgasm that way. You really have to consciously push out like you're peeing because that's what's going to let everything come through the urethra from the Skene's gland.
Okay, all great advice. And unfortunately, we are pretty much out of time. But thank you so much for answering our questions and for being on the show.
Well, thanks so much for having me. I really enjoyed it.
Shanna Katz is the author of Oral Sex That'll Blow Her Mind and Your Pleasure Map. Find out more at shannakatz.com, S-H-A-N-N-A-K-A-T-Z. Follow her on Twitter at shannakatz. So before I go, everyone, I want to tell you about two fantastic events coming up that I know you're going to love. And if one or both of these have passed, well, that's because we pre-recorded the show. So just cut me some slack. CatalystCon East is March 14th to the 16th in Washington, D.C. Go to catalystcon.com. Use coupon code Tristan for $10 off your registration. It's a fantastic sex positive event. And then coming up April 5th to 6th at the University of Toronto is the second annual Feminist Porn Conference. It is going to be an epic 2 days of workshops, academic, non-academic presentations, a business track, opening keynote by Lisa Dugan, closing keynote by Courtney Trouble, and lots, lots more. Go to fpcon.org. I want to thank everyone who makes this show possible. Executive producer Karen Dana, associate producer Raymond Johnson, segment producer and editor Colton, announcer Cooper Beckett from Life on the Swing Set, Matt, my engineer, and today, my other engineer, and everyone at Voice America. If you're missing any part of the show or you want to hear it again, you can listen on demand or download the MP3 by going to voiceamerica.com and searching for Sex Out Loud. You can also subscribe to it as a podcast on iTunes. Tune in next Friday at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern, for another edition of the show. Until then, I encourage you to keep the discussion going on Facebook.com/AskTristan, on Twitter at SexOutLoudRadio, and in your own life, take some time to talk about sex out loud.
That's a wrap on today's show. Go to voiceamerica.com to listen to this and other episodes on demand or as podcasts. And make sure you come back next Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, for Sex Out Loud with Tristan Taramino on Voice America Variety.
Sex Out Loud is brought to you by Good Vibrations, creating a buzz since 1977.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.